the rumors of wars and the people doing all kinds of stuff, and there seems to be faith and faith and more faith, but question is faith in what? Bow before who and bow before what? And I want to draw your attention just before I get on with some more stuff. To John chapter 4 from verse 21, Jesus talking to the woman at the well. And he said, and I quoted, he said, you Jews know, sorry, let me just watch pure scripture for you. John chapter 4. It's talking about the hour is coming and now is when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Jews know what we worship. You worship on this mountain and we worship down in Jerusalem. But the time is coming and now is when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Sorry, this scripture just came to mind. Let me just find it quickly. Sorry. John chapter 4. And Jesus talking to the woman at the well, and she's picking a political fight with her, with him, like as in very serious. So let me get to it, chapter 4 from verse 21. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." And so, being privileged to go around to so many different countries and so many situations, I pick up this thing in the spirit that the battle is for worship. Your attention is drawn to a certain thing so that it can distract you from the ultimate purpose that God had ordained for you to be here on planet Earth. The Bible says we've been created to the praise of His glory. We have been created to the praise of His glory, which means that my life needs to be a consuming fire of praise, if I may use that term. So whenever I open my mouth, I actually saturate the atmosphere. I charge the atmosphere with the sound of the living God. Like spitting fire. You get up and you say, "Good morning, Lord. I'm ready for duty. I'm thankful. Thank you that my eyes can see. Thank you that my ears can hear. Thank you that my feet can walk. Thank you that I can do the normal, the ordinary things. Thank you for those simple things that I normally take for granted. Thank you for the bus which is on time. Thank you for Wi-Fi on the train and on the buses." You don't have it yet? So we're running ahead of you. I thought this is a first world country. Okay, good. Only London. They better get their act together. So thank God for all these little things that we depend on so much, and we hardly say thank you. And you see, thanks is a word that actually precedes your praise. If I can take your attention to the scripture again, Psalm 100 and verse 4 in particular, it says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving in your heart and into his courts with praise." And into his courts with praise. Amen? And so you've got to say thank you first. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, I'm alive. Thank you, I have a lovely bed. I was warm in that bed and I slept well, and thanks to the deans. Amen. Thanks for wonderful hosts that don't throw you in the back room out there. And don't let you go out and, you know, get cold, etc. They take care of you. Thank you, Lord. These were the words coming from my lips this morning. Thank you, Lord, for this family. Thank you for the provision. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And you see, the devil can do so much with an ungrateful heart. And this is one of the reasons why our attention have now been taken off Jesus and onto either ourselves or onto someone who's looking to get the attention for himself. Have you seen this thing? Yeah? Personality's control and all the adverts, a lot of the adverts, it's about you. You need to have this. You need to be satisfied. You need to have the choice. You need to be, you are the most important person. You. No. What about God? Think God first. And when you think God first, He will make you aware of others. And this is what I want to get to you later on after I sing a couple of songs. Is that okay? Others, Lord. Others, Lord. Others, let this my motto be. Let others benefit from it. But in the process of church, we get hurt. How many of you guys have been hurt in church? You're too young? I've been hurt in church. And that because a lot of the attention and a lot of the stuff that's been going on in church, is, it's about a personality or a certain person that wants to be satisfied. And so he hurts the people that come to worship God. He turns Jesus' church into his church. But let me not go there. What I want to say is that if you get hurt in church, don't run away from God, run to God. And release those people that have hurt you. Maybe it could be a husband, it could be a wife, it could be a brother, sister, it could be a deacon, it could be a pastor, it could be a deaconess. The important thing is it is his church, Jesus' church. Church is God's idea. I want to repeat, church has and will always be God's idea. What we do in church sometimes messes up God's idea. And so we must make sure that we keep Jesus at the center of his church. Because if he's not in the center of his church, we become eccentric. And the whole thing goes wobbly like that. Are you with me? And you get funny people and they do funny things in Jesus' church. So let him bring the balance. Let him keep everything together at the center of it all. And you will see that goodness and mercy and loving kindness and all this stuff that he's got for you as you concentrate on him being the central point of your worship. Because the Father also says, glorify my Son. Lift my Son up. And Jesus himself in red letters says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And that includes the ladies. Amen? There you go. And so, if there's any one of you, I want to play a little a song. It's a title track. It's an instrumental title track of my one of my older albums. It's there. It's called Restoration. When you get hurt, and we will get hurt, the Bible says, for the righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord will deliver him from them all. God didn't promise us a bed of roses. He said that you will have multiplication of problems. But you need to know who your source of your help is. And when you run into trouble, cry out to God. This is what I did. I cried out to God. I was in my little studio. I have a recording studio, a very nice one. And I closed the doors so no one else could hear me. And I lifted up my voice. I said, God! My God! Sound of desperation in your voice. Yeah? I cried out to the Lord and he heard me. And he picked me up from my tantrum that I was blaming the pastors and blaming whoever else was hurting me. Because I was innocent. And we're always innocent, aren't we? We never do anything wrong. And so we keep on pointing the finger. It's them that must change. But God said to me, he picked me up from my tantrum and put me onto his lap. I just felt like he picked me up and said, let it go, son. Let it go. It's not worth holding on to it. Let it go. And as he put me onto his lap, I felt his heartbeat. And that was actually the tempo for the melody or the lullaby that he sang over me. And this, the lullaby is in this chorus that I want to play for you. And as I felt his heartbat, I felt his redeeming love, his healing come over me. But I had to make the point of letting go. Are you hearing me? And not talk about those people anymore. And not accuse them anymore. But focus on God who loves me and who's got a future for me. And who's got opportunities for the people that come behind me. And for the sake of those who come behind me, I let go. So that I can open up the doors of blessings for those who come behind me. And so I want to encourage you, if there's anything, anyone, that is stopping your walk with God, your love for God, let it go. Let it go, let it go, let it go. Maybe a wife, maybe a husband, just let it go. I play for you Restoration.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now's your time for restoration. Let it go, let it go. Now's your time for restoration. Let it go, let it go. Now's your time for restoration. Let it go, let it go. Thank you, Jesus.
Wonderful Jesus. He's still a healing God. Amen. And he's interested in every one of us. Every one of us. He's so keenly interested in a love relationship with you, in a father relationship with you. And he wants to bring you into himself. This thing of seeing God as your father out there so far, it's not right. It says, come worship, worship, worship. Come in closer. Kiss me with the kiss of your lips. Get intimate with me. You know? Let me just read a piece of scripture and I want to sing a song and then I want to. Do you want to do something else? Okay. It's one of my favorite scriptures. Psalm 139. It says, "O Lord, you have searched me and you've known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways, for there is not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Verse 13, for you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. Verse 17 and 18, and I want to finish with that. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. In fact, David is exclaiming this. He says, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, there would be more than the number in the more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. I want to sing a little song that's based on that particular scripture. It's a prayer. Search me. Lord, you have searched my heart, examined every part, and you know me. Lord, you've known my pain, though I'm so much to blame, and I know it. Have mercy on me, O God. Create in me a pure heart. Search me, try me, and make me, Lord. And guide me on the way to eternal life. So many times I want to run away from all the challenges I have to face. But God, of great mercy, hear me say, how I need your loving grace. Have mercy on me, O God. Create in me a pure heart. Break me, mold me, and then use me, Lord, and guide me on the way to eternal life. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, God, you're there. And if I make my bed in the depths, you are there. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Too high for me to understand. And for the hurt I've caused my brothers, please forgive me, Lord. For the love lost for another, please forgive. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Too high for me to understand. Search me, Lord. And try me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. I need you, Lord, to search me, Lord.
He's a good God. You may use your emotion. God is a good God. Amen. God is a good God.
Amen.
Now, I come from a place where we get rowdy, not just in church. I can be walking down the street and I say amen, and someone over the road would say hallelujah. Can we try that? Amen.
Hallelujah.
There we go. Yeah, and it's all in order to give God praise. Amen. It's not to bring attention to myself, but it's to give God, the living God, the praise that is due His name. It says, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, the name of the Lord shall be praised. Everything that has breath must praise the Lord. So that includes the KPs, that includes the Zulus, that includes the West Indians, it includes the Scottish, it includes everyone, it includes the Pakistanis, Dr. George. It includes every one of us. We have to give Him praise. Amen. And so, why do I get so excited about Jesus? Is it because, you know, He's been born with a silver spoon in His mouth, or He's come from a rich family and everything's made? No, no, no. I want to just take you down my journey and just give some explanation as to some of the reason for the joy that I have. And I am like this all the time. I sing all the time. Especially when I know I have a captive audience. You know, your tubes, the taxis. And that doesn't mean to say that I'm crazy. Now, normally when people sing and they smile and they're joyful, you know, people think funny of you. No, it is normal. It is normal for a Christian who is in contact with joy himself, with a source of joy, to be happy. Amen? And that happiness is very, and that joy is very much contagious. Amen? And so you need to look for the reason all the time. Look for a reason to sing and shout and make a noise. Make a noise for God. Now, we are living in societies where they say, well, it's actually a weakness to laugh or to cry in public or to be emotional in public. It's the biggest lot of nonsense. And it seems to me the more educated they get, especially there, Scandinavia, you know, those places, they have this unwritten rule. If you laugh in public, you're a weakling. If you cry in public, you're a weakling. Jesus laughed. And Jesus cried. And the public saw Him. And nothing fell off Him. He showed emotion. Amen. And so we are made in His image. So, if He's a God of emotion, what are we? We're also emotional people. Amen? So, anyway, my story goes like this. My mommy was 14 years of age when she first started experiencing sex with a young man who was next to her. And they'd just gone on just wayward, not realizing that there's a God up above who's watching over them, etc., etc. So, they offended God with the way they behaved themselves. And I want to say that from the very beginning, if you have something, if you do stuff that God ordained in holy matrimony, and you start behaving yourself that way, you offend God that way. Okay? And so my mom and my dad offended God. He took her virginity when she was 14 years old. She fell pregnant with her first child, which is my older brother. She was 15. Of course, they were too young to get married. So the grown-up women tolerated the nonsense at the time, you know. And when she turned 17 years old, she fell pregnant again. And this time I came along. And this time the older women in the family said, you're not going to come with this nonsense. You're going to abort this child. And that time they didn't have these easy accessible abortion clinics. Not that I agree with them. But they did the backstreet abortions, and the older women in the family used to do these abortions and bury the little babies down in the soft sand of Cape Town. And my mother knew that when she was offered the opportunity to abort, she knew the process, because it was a very gruesome process. Terrible. You use a knitting needle to knit jerseys with, not to bring babies down. And this is what they did. And she didn't only fear that knitting needle, but she feared that she would offend God again by becoming a murderer, by giving into their schemes. And so she did a God thing. She ran away and gave me a chance to be born. She went and found some refuge with her auntie just in the same community, and that auntie just covered her for the time of her pregnancy. And when she had to give birth on the 18th of November 1961, it was a Saturday. It was a sunny Saturday. It was a hot Saturday. And as she gave birth, she was too young to even give this child a name. She was just there. She didn't know what was going on. The doctors were fighting to
keep this baby alive, because they battled for 20 minutes slapping this baby. Bang, 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 bang. Shout, make a noise, shout, make a noise, shout, make a noise. I'm not saying that's what they did, but I can imagine, because they were panicking. They wanted to hear a sound from this baby, and I didn't make a sound. After 20 minutes of battling with me, the sound came. 8 months later, I landed up in hospital again, needles in the head, double pneumonia. They fought for my life. I pulled through. So this is now the third time I get an opportunity to be alive. But let me take you back to the scripture that I read. While I was yet in my mother's womb, while my mother was wondering what was going on, did she eat the wrong food, why is she vomiting like this, all this stuff, God knew that I was there. God had already given me life. Now let me explain to you why it's so offensive to God when it comes to the sexual act in particular. When, now I'm not a doctor, in fact I don't have any degrees, but that baby, that fetus there, when the connection is made from the male to the female, there's the possibility for life. When you have sex, there's the possibility for life. And God is the only one who gives life, the living God. And therefore, he needs to give his life-giving spirit. He needs to breathe his life-giving spirit into that little fetus, whatever is happening there. He alone can do that miracle. And this is why it is such an offensive thing to mess around, because God has to be there. Now, whether it's your wife or whether it's someone else's wife and you have that sex with that person, God has to show up anyway, and he's so offended, but he's got to give that little baby a chance to live. And this is what I believe happened in my case. My parents offended God, but God still had mercy. And Jesus was my intercessor and still is. Nudged Father God and said, potential worshiper, potential Holy Ghost terrorist, Satan's personal nightmare, swimming in that womb, fashion for him days, knit him together beautifully, fearfully, give him a beautiful dog skin, let him look like his mother, not like his father. Let him have his mother's bold voice to shout. Give him talent. Fashion for him days that he can walk into it, and give him a choice. And this is what I believe happened before I was born. And I still had to make the choice. Let me take you back. We were 24 people in a 2-bedroom council house. Now, those of you that are from South Africa will understand the technicalities of that. It's a little space about the size of this, 4 rooms. We were 24 people. I slept on the same bed with my uncle and my brother. It wasn't nice. It wasn't pleasant. So as a young child, as I grew up, I ran around a lot. And musical sounds, the different sounds of people singing and making music, they drew me. So if I heard the Cape Coons, I was there. If I heard the Christmas choirs, I was there. If I had church on a Sunday, I would be in church all day from 7 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock tonight. Going from church to church to church, because I loved the sound of music. Saturdays were the groups, the bands. I would go from rehearsal to rehearsal. Friday nights were the dances and the discos, and I would find myself there, and I would listen, and I would listen, and I would beg for an opportunity to sing, and they would give me a chance. And then they discovered me when I was 5 years old, put me on the platform. So at the age of 13, I was already the main breadwinner of our home with my voice. Struggling community, when the women needed money, they knew who to pick on. They said, Trevor, go sing. And I used to find myself on the buses, in and out of town, from the terminus of our township, right into town. Go up and down, sing, and bring these bags of money home. So, from an early age, I already knew that there was something about the sound that I make that was different and that was special. But here goes. I didn't realize at the time that God had a touch on me, and he had his hand upon me for a time that I need to go into the world and destroy the atmospheres of evil wherever I go. I didn't realize that. So for a while, I used this talent for my own personal gain. My own personal satisfaction. I used to get lonely. I used to just sing, and people used to give me recognition. Oh, you're a nice singer. When I needed money, I knew where to go. Just open my mouth. I bless the day I found you. Just stand there by the terminus, and people would gather around. I want to stay around you, and people will start singing. Start giving me money for my singing. So I knew how to manipulate situations with my gift, with my sound. But it was not giving glory to God. Are you hearing me? Until I was introduced to Jesus to follow him in the way. And this was at the tender age of 13. It's a good age. You can think about what you do with your life and all this kind of stuff. So cut a long story short, I had a lot of hatred in my heart towards my mom and my dad because of the way that they lived, you know, the alcoholism and all this stuff and all the curses that they brought on the family. I just didn't like it. So I never spent time home. I was always at functional homes where the father was there and the daddy was loving the mommy and the daddy was taking his kids like you take your kids, and I was one of those extra kids of the community that was always in that car. Different families used to take me in different times. Even Muslims. Yes, not just one Muslim family, a number of them. And I'm so grateful for the people God used me to raise me up for such a time as this, so that I can use my sound. Amen? So when I grew up, I heard people say to me, you're a so-called no good, useless mistake. That's what people used to say to me. Some of my teachers used to look at me because I was very naughty. I had a bad, bad temper. Terrible temper. As in violent temper. And the teachers used to write me off. They said, you're going to become a street sweeper, just like your father. You're going to become a drunk, just like your dad. No good, useless. Don't ever say that to a child. I listened to them. I heard them. And I refused to accept that. In fact, when I was already in ministry 2 years, I tracked down one of the teachers that cursed me with that curse. And I drove up there with my nice van, painted job with a trailer, and I had my nice size 28 Lee jeans on with my wooden cross and my big afro. I turned up by his door and he was living in a shack. He didn't recognize me. I said, sir, are you Mr. Jacobs? Yes. I said, this is that rubbish sweeper that you said. I said, how do you like this? Afrikaans is a faithless man. How do you like this dirt man? He said, who are you? I said, I am Trevor Clive Sampson. I was in your class. And I'm just here to prove your curse wrong. Because God got a hold of me. Turned my life around. And tonight I will be taking a concert in the Rhodes University campus. And you're welcome to come and hear what I have to say about this God who changed my life. He came with his whole family. Come see my student. I do that. I challenge them. You understand? You don't have to believe all the stuff that your circumstances produce. A lot of people say like father, like son. It doesn't have to be so. I broke that stuff in the name of Jesus. Because before my father, in fact, my father never even daddied me like you daddy your children. He fathered me. He was a good donor. Bless God. I'm short like him. But that's it. But let me just take you into the story. I managed to fix things up. When God showed me how wrong I was to hate them, I went and I cleared up. I cleaned up. I went to set them free. Talk to my father. First conversation with my father, man to man. I didn't know whether to say Mr. or Uncle or Daddy, but I managed to get the words out, Dad. I need your forgiveness for me hating you so much. And I want to release you. And by the way, do you know Jesus? And I led him to the Lord. A year later, I'd gone through the whole family because I had issues with the family. I had issues with what they left for me as a legacy. It wasn't nice because it was illegitimate children and more illegitimate children and witchcraft and all this kind of stuff. And I didn't like it. I hated them for what they did. So I was the first person to get born again. Now I'm taking you through this journey so that you can understand the reason behind the sound. Nothing's going to stop my sound. Absolutely nothing. Because no one has done for me what Jesus Christ has done for me. So don't tell me to shut up. Because I have a heart that overflows with love and gratitude towards my God. Amen. And so a year later I was with Bonke, Reinhard Bonke. I was his music director. And in that crusade, my whole family. Now the Bible gives you a promise when it says, if you give in to the call of salvation, your whole family, that the promise is your whole household will be saved. I can happily say my whole immediate family got to know Jesus Christ and follows him in the way. That's the promise. So let me cut it down. What has this got to do with my doing what I'm doing at the moment? God had ordained for me to do what I'm doing at such a time as this. There's so many minuses. There's so many people that look upon their background and say, well, I'm never going to make it. I'm never really, really going to make it because I started in a deficit. My father never raised me. Father never married. Fought for survival. Big what. That's nothing compared to where God can take you. If only you'd look and dig into God. And this is what I want to say to you. Get into God. Get into knowing Him intimately. Forget about the past. Concentrate on Him. Give Him your life. Give Him your whole life. Give your best to Him. And you know what? My life only got better after I dealt with the issues. After I allowed for God to help me to release the stuff. You can't expect for it to go well with you if you're still holding on to issues. There's some of us that come to church with holy, unforgiving hands. We are told to lift up our holy hands and we still got issues with our fathers and our mothers and our people and with this person and that race and that party and this pastor and that pastor. Leave the issues. Get on with it. Dig into God and follow your purpose. Are you with me? And so I'm happy to say that for the past 34 years, it's now this year, it will be 34 years that I've been in full-time music ministry. And I've not had to cross over and sing about a woman rather than Jesus. I believe music is God's idea, and music needs to be continue to be directed towards God in praise. Music is a very powerful tool. Very powerful tool. I use music as a weapon against the kingdom of darkness. I use my voice as a weapon on the kingdom of darkness. Yeah? Yeah, people say I have a nice voice. Yes, I know I have a nice voice. But it's nicer when you allow Holy Spirit. And it's more powerful when you allow Holy Spirit to sing through you and to play for you, through you. Because then there's the possibility for signs and wonders to follow. I am fully aware that when I strike my instrument, from the first strike, I announce His presence. And when He's there, the potential is there for miracles, signs, and wonders to follow. Not because I'm so good, but because He's there. But I, the vessel, have got to submit and yield to His Lordship and to the governor. Now, that's not your... Who's your governor in London? Do you have such a person here? Mayor, is it? Yeah. It's not him. Governor is Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm going, but I will not leave you here comfortless, but I will ask the Father that He will give you another comforter. One to show you, one to help you, one to encourage you through the struggles and through the challenges and through the joys and through the ups and through the downs. The governor, Holy Spirit, will govern your life if you allow Him to. But He won't if you don't let Him. So, where can you go from His Spirit? Nowhere. Nowhere. Where can you flee from His presence? Nowhere. Because God thinks of you all the time. Amen? Verse 17 and verse 18, I would just want to repeat it again. I just want to bring your attention to that one. It says, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God? Here it is. Verse 17 and verse 18. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God? How great is the sum of them? If I were to count them, there would be more in number than the sand. Now, growing up in Cape Town, we have a lot of sand. Some places in South Africa, it's just rocks. You've got to battle to find the rocks, to find the sand. But I used to play in the sand a lot. I would never dare to even count one handful of sand. Now, there's some clever people in the room here today. Would you ever attempt to count just one beach of sand? Huh? Okay, make it two beaches of sand. Or make it just a wheelbarrow full of sand. I suppose it can be done. There's one clever guy in England said to me, yeah, it can be done. You go through this, go through that route, you go through this route. I said, yeah. Okay, cool. But my point is, God's thoughts for us is infinitely deep. It never ends. His thoughts for us does not end at all. But yet, we go through this place where there's a lot of dark clouds. There's a lot of dark clouds. And we go through it and we wonder, is there anyone out there that cares for me? And we go into depression. I've never seen so many depressed people like in Europe. It's unbelievable. People are on Ritalin and are they on the Prozac and they're on this and they're on that and all kinds. Listen, get into Jesus, man, and you'll save yourself a whole lot of money. That money that you're spending on the Ritalin and all the drugs that you use to calm yourself down, you can send to do other stuff for the kingdom of God. Now, depression is a form of spiritual deficiency. If you're dry spiritually, you will get depressed. But if you fill yourself up with God, He will fill you with all that stuff that you need to live. He said, I've come to give you life. I've come to give you life and life in abundance. I'm not prepared to settle for all this negative stuff that's around us. They would have probably put me on what's it? Ritalin. Is it Ritalin? Huh? Because I was so hyper. And I got even more hyper when I got to know Jesus. When God saved me, I remember that night. They tell me, I was in this church and God, he nailed me because I was running so long, I was bottling up so much hatred. And God said, this is the night that you will get changed and you will turn from your wicked ways, you will turn from your hatred and your anger towards your mom and your dad, and you will follow the course and the plan that I have for your life. He saved me radically. It was like yesterday, I can remember. I was flat on the floor for not 8 seconds like what happens in some of the churches. Up you go. It's a mockery, that man. When God slays you, He really does, and He deals with you, and He gives you, He deals with you in a way that you will never forget. He has dealt with you. And so far in my life, I've only gone down 3 times. And I remember what happened. What God revealed to me when I was slain like that. And so that first time when He slayed me like that, He changed me. He baptized me into the Holy Spirit. I invited Holy Spirit, the life-giving Spirit, the fire. I reinvited Him into my life. And anyone that gets in touch with me now gets infected by this fire that I experienced when I was 13. It's never left me. In fact, it's increased. Amen. If you're not hungry, then you're unhealthy. If you don't eat, you're unhealthy. The doctors will tell you that. Now, I'm not even a doctor. I'm just a musician. So, if you're not hungry for God, if you're not hungry for God, there's something seriously wrong. Devil's got your attention into bowing to something else that's got your attention and is chewing up all your energies. Chewing up all your energies. What makes a Christian want to think of suicide? If the life-giving Spirit is inside of him, what makes a Christian get down to that level? The devil. The devil. You either have the devil controlling you or you have the Spirit of God governing you and showing you. And I want to encourage you, let's not settle for the mediocre. Amen? There's a lot of stuff that's going to still come, but it's going to put the squeezer on Jesus' church. And Jesus is busy separating the sheep from the goats. He's separating the fake from the real thing. He's separating all that is not of Him. And He's wanting His church back. He wants to be the central point of His church. And He wants His Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you into Father's ways of holiness and truth. If you talk to me about your church, I'm going to shoot you down. I'm going to ask you, where are your nails? Where are the markings? When did you rise again? In fact, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be only coming back when Father says you come back. What are you doing here? Are you hearing me, what I'm saying? There's some people that act as though they are Jesus and using Jesus' church, beating up on Jesus' church and getting Jesus' church to like them. There's also a form of following, partnering. Jesus is coming back for a bride, not a partner. And so the act of marriage is very important to understand, because it's God's idea. Because in eternity, there will be the celebration with the bridegroom. And therefore, we need to learn to be intimate with him. And with this, I want to finish and say, don't expect to be led into worship by a song leader or a worship leader or a worship team. You're on the wrong track. If you come here to be led into worship, you're on the wrong track. What am I saying? Worship can never be categorized by slow songs and be put into three slow songs in a set of where the pastor so-called says, now let's enter a time of worship. That's not right. We enter our time of worship when we say yes to Jesus. You become part of the worship team when you say yes to Jesus, when you become a believer and you follow Jesus Christ in the way, when you become obedient to His Spirit and His Spirit leads you then from then on into worship and shows you what will satisfy the Father. Are you with me? So there's some error going on around the world at the moment and we need to correct that thing. Now, you may be saying to me, Trevor, you're shooting yourself in the foot because you yourself are a worship leader. No, I'm not a worship leader. I'm a musician. I'm a psalmist. I am not a worship leader. The only one who qualifies to lead us into worship is Holy Spirit. Are you hearing me? And so, you can type on your little Mac there, worship leader, and the top 10 worship leaders in the world will pop up. And the reason why you need to sing their songs, and the reason why you need to get their products, and the reason why their products and their concerts and their stuff will be good for your church. It's another distraction. He says, I share my glory with no man. I am a jealous God. So who are you worshiping? And some people come to church on a Sunday and they come because they love the worship. It's a distraction. They come because they follow a certain worship leader. It's a distraction. If Jesus is not elevated and lifted up, then you are being fooled. You've been taken off the course. And if I can encourage you, this worship thing, you must never depend on a band or a song leader or even a service to get your kick. Never depend on that. It starts in your bedroom. It's a lifestyle. And whatever happens in the bedroom will overflow into your life, into your daily living. I'm not sure you heard me. Whatever happens in your bedroom will overflow in your daily living. So if you experience holiness there, you will experience holiness in your walk. And goodness, mercy, loving kindness, all this stuff will follow you all the days of your life. If you had a battle in your bedroom, battle it out in worship in your bedroom. Before you get to that particular battle, whatever it is the devil may have set for you, you've already won the battle. Because why? You have charged yourself up with the Spirit of God. Shandaying and doing whatever you need to do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, God loves you. He appreciates you. He doesn't want for you to mope. He doesn't want for you to believe all the lies that goes about, oh, I'm only from Africa. I'm only from the people down in there in the Cape, you know, where the highest statistic in the World Health Organization is teenage pregnancy. I'm a statistic of that, etc. Well, no, don't believe those lies. God says, I have a plan for you. I have a purpose for you. And so I can happily say, I have walked in God's plan and in God's purpose for my life. And I've only just begun. On Tuesday, I turned 53. And I am as excited now, even more excited now about doing church, doing local church, than I ever was. Normally, musicians don't go to prayer meetings. They don't go to cell groups. They don't participate in normal church life because they are the music team. You got a big problem on your hand. Behold how pleasant and how good it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. For there the Lord commands the blessing, life evermore. Get into one another. I'm part of a very healthy church in South Africa at the moment. I'm very excited about it. I never thought I would become part of a charismatic mega church again ever, because of the hurt of the past. But God did the healing. God did the restoration. And God got me back on His lap. And God got me back in love with Him. And God got me back to following Him and serving Him. And so this is what I'm doing. I'm serving Him with everything that I got. And I'm so excited. Our church is a very fast-growing church. There's our children's church alone, 900 kids in the children's church. And the kids lead it, adult supervise. Digital desks, Maya sound system, the whole trip. But we train our children, and I like what you're doing. And I want to encourage you, keep your focus on giving them a good foundation with the scriptures. They're going to ask a lot of questions, and there's going to be a lot of confusion. There's going to be a lot of distractions, especially in the city. There's a lot of stuff going on here. But you stay true to the faith. To the faith that you have in Jesus, that which your father and your mother have passed on to you, you've embraced it, your children will embrace it. And the children here, don't separate them from what you teach. If it's not good enough for them, then it's not good enough for you. And same goes to the places and the things that we do in our daily lives. If it's not good enough for your children, it's not good enough for you. So stay away from it. Closing statement. I've been married to Patricia. Chris Ludovic's most beautiful daughter for 28 years. I was never a pastor's son. I was the first to get saved in our family. God saved us. I started the line of born again faith in Jesus Christ in our family. God honored that. I prayed for them and God saved them. When God born Tricia through Mary and Chris, He had me in mind. He did. A wife for Trevor, suitable for Trevor. I was a virgin when I married Tricia. In today's age, that's a miracle with all the statistics that goes about, especially when you're a musician and 24 years old, never having touched a woman. And 28 years later, I can honestly say I have never touched another woman other than my wife. So as to flirt with her or have sex with her. Why? Because I have the fear of God in me. And if you can keep the fear of God conscious in your head and knowing the Spirit of God is with you, you will not fall. That is the person who has helped me. Remember I said at the age of 13, I invited Holy Spirit in. And so the fear for God is so big that wherever I go, and I travel many places, sometimes in 3 months I would sleep in 45 different beds. Different hotels and so on. And you know, some hotels, they have this thing where they do this thing with the prostitutes. They bring people into your room and that kind of stuff without you inviting them. Make sure that you are aware of the presence of Holy Spirit. And when you want to indulge, first think, can I afford to have Holy Spirit who lives in me? Look onto the nonsense that I'm about to partake in. Can I offend God, Holy Spirit, in such a way? Because He says, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. So you take Him with you. You've invited Him in, you take Him with you. In those dark places, in those small places, in that high school, in that wherever it is, make Him known, make His presence known. Shine your light. And Jesus will honor all of that. I have gone over my time. Thank you very much, David.
Thank you, Trevor. We're going to just respond. I want to encourage those who came to intercession this morning. We didn't know what Trevor would say, but we were praying for God's heart for everyone to be made known. And we prayed specifically for unborn children. And we sometimes think of unborn children and we look at someone with a protrusion and you can see it there, but as Trevor's reminded us, God's thinking not just of those who are about to give birth, He's thinking of generations. He's thinking far, far higher thoughts than the thoughts that we think. His ways are so much greater than our ways, and yet He makes Himself known. He makes Himself known. And just when we respond, there'll be a time for ministry. And if you feel that God wasn't interested in you, it might be because of your family background, but you came to church this morning and you think, well, it's okay for some, but actually God isn't interested in me. It's okay for my siblings, but it's not really for me. God's heart was to them, but His heart isn't really towards me. Then I'd encourage you just to come and have someone pray with you, or just pray and somebody can agree with you. Because God's heart is towards each one. The days, we were told in Psalm 139, before one of them came to be, not just when God's fashioning the child in the womb, but before any day came to be, God knew our parents and our grandparents and our great-grandparents. And it's all for His glory. It's all for Him. So just where you are, and we'll see how this works with music or prayer, but just respond to God and receive what God has for you. If you, okay, well, what Trevor said was an interesting story. It is. I've heard it a few times now. And I didn't, the people, those of us who prayed, we didn't know what Trevor would say. But God used us just to pray, He's willing to be used. If there's maybe something that God's still to do, even today, then when the others go for refreshments in a short while, maybe you just stay where you are and receive whatever it is that God has for you.